are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is presented by SeatGeek and the wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. So when you're planning for that next great event, maybe a good concert down at the Fieldhouse this summer, make sure you hit up the SeatGeek app. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornos.com, here to give you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. Fighting through a little bit of a raspy voice today, but I think we can get through it. On this episode, we'll hit on a few topics here as the off-season continues, and those include Paul George heading to Disneyland, and also how the point guard market is shaping up. Also, you know, some options the Pacers might have for filling out their front court roster heading into next season. And we'll also talk about some rumblings that have recently come up about the Simon family shopping the team for sale. That would certainly rumble the foundation of the organization, and we'll just bring that up because it's been mentioned of late. But before we dive in, a reminder to hit me up with any comments or questions. You can hit me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, let's start with a few days ago, Paul George was out at Disneyland celebrating his birthday, which was May 2nd, turned 27. So, of course, he's rolling around L.A. at Disneyland with family in tow, and a lot of Laker fans out there wanted to remind him that they would love to see him stick in town and stay with the Lakers and play with the Lakers. Obviously, he had no reaction to a couple of the little video clips on social media, which showed people, you know, yelling out, "Hey, come to the Lakers." So I know one thing, having seen PG around, I live kind of in the general same area as he does, obviously not the same neighborhood, don't have that kind of coin, but he's always been a guy who appreciates his privacy away from the court, and I know obviously he also had his house robbed at one point, so he's sensitive to that type of thing. I recall a couple of years ago that a young fan had saw him rolling up Pendleton Pike in his Ferrari and took a picture and posted it on Instagram, completely harmless from the fan's point of view, because he was like, "Oh my God, there's Paul George in his Ferrari, cool. Love the Pacers, love you, PG." And he had a pretty quick rebuke for the kid, saying, "Hey, don't follow me," basically, were his words. So I don't know how much he wants to be start out in the limelight that isn't a controlled setting like that. So I don't know if Laker fans did him any favors out there trying to do their own recruiting of PG at Disneyland. But obviously, he's going to Disneyland. People are going to spot him, and he's going to be hearing from it. So, you know, just another interesting time here with PG and his upcoming free agency, which isn't this summer, people. I keep hearing that it is, but it isn't, although the situation may be resolved this summer. So we will find out. Also, another quick topic to hit on is the point guard market. Obviously, that's big news for the Pacers. Jeff Teague is up. Kevin Pritchard obviously said they would like to keep him, although he also made it clear that they have a value in mind, or maybe not in mind, but there's a part of the market they want to see how it shakes out. And essentially, it sounded like they're not throwing Michael Conley money at Teague just to keep him. They would look elsewhere, but you know, if there's a market value that is a little below that max value, then they would like to keep him, I'm sure. But, you know, you look at the point guard market, we're already hearing rumblings that the Knicks are targeting Teague. So all you need is one other team to begin a bidding war, and that price goes up. I'm sure there will be others as well. Kyle Lowry and the Raptors are now out of the playoffs, and there have been reports on social media that he may not re-sign with the Raptors, as kind of was presumed, that instead he may be looking to go out in the West. I don't know why he would want to go out there. I don't know if they'll have any better results out in the West unless he can land for the Spurs possibly. But regardless, he's an option now possibly on the market and will set the market. Of course, at the top you have Steph Curry and Chris Paul. Now, Curry is set up to stay with the Warriors, naturally, and after having several years of a very undervalued contract for Curry, which is one of the reasons they're in the great shape that they are right now, you know, his payday is coming. So they'll be breaking the bank to keep him alongside Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Oh, great. So the other one out there, obviously at the top, Chris Paul, it's assumed he's going to stay with the Clippers. But you never know, Clippers also faded again, and it looks like they may be headed for a big breakup. And maybe Chris Paul leads that by just leaving on his own. Who knows, maybe he'll find a way to team up somehow with LeBron or Carmelo Anthony. I don't see that happening, obviously, with LeBron, unless he just jettisons Kyrie Irving. But hey, LeBron's a man. He's a pretty good GM, so you never know. But that, you know, brings you down to Kyle Lowry. And then after that, you got this pocket of guards that includes Teague, George Hill, and Drew Holiday. George Hill struggling now, obviously, in the playoffs. He's missed the last two games. He missed over 30 games this year. So I don't know where his value is going to be as well. Now at 31, after missing all those games, he's, you know, looking for that big payday as well. Kind of like Teague, he's going to be testing the market, and I, you know, it seemed like Utah loved him, and he fit really well when he played and was healthy alongside Hayward. They were, you know, a really strong team, but Hayward also a free agent, so you know, they aren't going to be going way into luxury tax, I would imagine. So, you know, he may be on the market as well. So those are some options, I guess. Obviously, I can't see George Hill coming back to Indy, but there may be some other options available for the Pacers if Teague's price tag gets too high. So, obviously, another thing that we're going to be checking out. And before we move on, I want to make sure you check out SeatGeek, because buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along, created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And I know I actually have some tickets coming up that I got for Red Hot Chili Peppers concert at the Field House in late May. Looking forward to going to that. It's always so easy. You know, just hassle-free. Pop open the app, find the seats, find the best deal, and go from there, able to get tickets for a few people, so we're all sitting together, can't wait to go have some fun at the Field House at a non-basketball event. It should be a good time, and I appreciate the ease with which I can do that with SeatGeek, because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work. You save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, for my listeners, get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get a $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add Promo Code. Enter promo code LOPACERS, that's all one word, all caps, LOPACERS, and then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, now I want to turn attention to some front court options. We're talking about point guard. That may be a costly position for the Pacers unless they completely go in another direction, give the ball to Lance Stephenson, who would be an inexpensive point guard, and then bring in more shooters around him. I still think they're going to need a regular point guard of some type, whether he starts or not, to fill that gap. It probably won't be cheap. But as far as the front court goes, we'll see if the Pacers make any moves. You know, maybe bringing in, they have three good front court prospects playing at Fort Wayne this year. Ben Bentil, Alex Poitras, and then our old friend Tyler Hansbrough. Now, Kevin Pritchard mentioned in an interview with Dan Dockage that they expect to bring Hansbrough into camp after, you know, he played so well. He used him as an example of a guy who, you know, he never said the word smash mouth, but talked about playing with that energy and effort and guts that, you know, when he left, they never really replaced that. And that he played so well up in Fort Wayne. They're obviously going to bring him in now. He was a little noncommittal, and also raised a valid point that he played so well that he's probably going to have some options. And that tells me maybe somebody may actually give him a contract going into the season as opposed to a camp invite. And it didn't sound like the Pacers might be that team. But we'll see how that shakes out. As for Poitras and Bentil, they're kind of similar players. I think Bentil may be a better shooter from three-land at this point, but Poitras improved so much this year that he may be a player that is on the rise. Now, he's older, so that would play into it as well. But he was a strong, you know, double-double guy for a lot of games. Was pulled up, played with Philly at the end of the year. Actually, played pretty well against the Pacers in some time off the bench. So, you know, obviously you're looking at a guy who is a reserve big, a guy who can rebound, defend, also step out and make the three. That's today's NBA. That's what the Pacers need. And so among those guys, obviously, Hansbrough isn't the guy that's going to step out and hit the three. He will defend, rebound, and make plays inside. But as far as more of that ideal current power forward type, I would say Bentil and Poitras may be the guys to look at, and hopefully they get an option with the Pacers. And, you know, I'm saying that because they're going to need somebody inexpensive. You know, at this point, if you're signing Paul George, you're going to need a point guard. And then if you really do want to open up the coffers, go for another big name player or somebody close to big name and spend some money, you got to fill that roster out with some quality young guys who are inexpensive, kind of the way they did with Glenn Robinson III. They're cashing in on that right now because he's played well. They still have another year under a favorable contract with him. And it's just kind of that revolving door. You got to get production from some of those low contract guys. And that's a spot where maybe they can get that production, similar to the way that now maybe they're getting that from Kevin Serafin going forward. We'll see what status is LaVoie Allen. I would say they don't need both those guys again this year. Please. I just don't want to see them both playing at the same time. One or the other, fine, but not both at the same time. Obviously, Serafin has a better salary number. So, and LaVoie has a team option. So there's still the albatross of Al Jefferson and Monte Ellis. What they're able to do with one or both of those guys this offseason will be critical for the team, considering they're both combining to eat up $20 million of the cap for next season. Again, Monte Ellis, while it is his last season and he has a player option, if the Pacers are to deal him or cut him before the end of next year, they don't have to worry about that last year of the player option. So that could be a similar value to a team trading for Monte. They could have that assurance as well if things aren't working out. They can just cut them, and then they'll have that cap space. Surely there's a lot of teams in the bottom third of the league that would be willing to make such a deal where they can free up some cap space heading into the 2018-19 offseason and continue building from there. So that seems more likely than Al Jefferson, although he also has a team option for 18-19. So either guy is going to be able to give some cap room the following year for whatever team may want to take him on. And with Kevin Pritchard, Wheeling and Dillon, we'll see if he can make a splash this summer and get something done to get either of those guys moved or both and really free up some room for the Pacers to revamp that roster going forward. And again, that's where guys like Poitras or Bentil may be valuable coming in and backfilling in the reserve spot at the back half of the roster for a good price. So speaking of price, real quick, there's going to be more information coming on this, I'm sure, but I've heard it twice now. Colin Cowherd mentioned kind of in passing that he had heard that Herb Simon was looking to sell the Pacers, and obviously their value is really high right now, over $800 million price, starting price for the team. And then recently on a podcast, Bill Simmons, talking about Larry Bird leaving, says, he kind of feels Bird is just getting out ahead of all the changes coming down, and that, he's kind of heard Birdie's whispering that the Simons are also putting the team up for sale. I don't know. I have a feeling his Birdie's whispering were the comments that Cowherd made, but maybe not. But, one thing that is going on with the Pacers right now, they're building a monster office and practice facility across the street. I know Simon had mentioned in a few years they're going to need more money to revamp the field house, but they've made a pretty strong commitment to the building down there. It's been going on all season, and if you go down and on the east side of the field house, you see that thing up. It's going to be done not too long. I know the street was all ripped up out there as they were putting in the tunnel towards the end of the season that will go between the field house and the new office practice complex. St. Vincent Center, I don't know what it is. I think it's St. Vincent Sport Health Building. So they got a sponsor for it, and they're moving all the administrative offices over there. So I find it hard to believe that even if the Simons did sell, it wouldn't be to an owner that would maintain the team locally. I can't, there's a handful of guys, people in Indiana with the kind of money to pony up, $800 million. But surely there are some groups that could come together and keep that team here if that were the case. Obviously, it has always kind of been rumored that the Suns, Simon Suns, didn't want to own the team, even though it seems like Steven, I believe, has been a little more involved with the team of late, and it sounded like he was actually an owner the way they were talking about him when they were over in London this year. But we'll see what comes of that. I have a feeling at some point all the smoke, if there's any fire to it, Herb Simon's going to have to address it one way or the other, either shoot down the rumors, or if not, I guess they will continue to fester. But at this point, Pacers are all systems go, getting ready for the summer, next season, and the draft. We'll have plenty on that as we hear things as the off season continues. Always something popping up, it seems like. And at this point now, it's a lot about draft eligible players, and then what's happening with teams after they get knocked out of the playoffs. Obviously, it looks like Cleveland and the Warriors are on a collision course again. Cavs just swept the Raptors like they did the Pacers, although the Pacers in their four games, the deficit was only 16 points. The Raptors were beaten by a total of 61 points. So, hey, Pacers gave them a little better series. four-game sweep. Oh, that's great. But anyway, that is part of the reason I think you're hearing rumblings of Kyle Lowry possibly leaving in that team, trying to break things up because they've hit into that brick wall of the Cavs and can't seem to get over it. And don't just want to wait out LeBron because, I don't know, the guy's not appearing to be human. Appears like he could go at this pace forever. So stay tuned. We'll keep up to date on playoffs as well. And again, thanks to SeatGeek for presenting this episode. And thank you for listening. Please make sure you share your thoughts on what's going on so far with the Pacers, what you think they might do as the offseason continues. You can email me at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.